Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show. And we're doing an episode on phosphorus, which is surrounding the topic of science and how sometimes it's been used in positive ways and sometimes in negative ways. And sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not. I don't know. Again, when I was talking about fleshing out this episode, it really went philosophical very quickly. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like Ben, or like Hot said, like the scientific method also, like it's nothing is black and white. Nothing is ever as black and white as we would like it to be. It's an unfortunate part of human nature, that we, you know, it's, yeah, I can see.
We need to categorize things.
But then like sometimes, it's like we get into something and then it goes so far, it gets too far, and suddenly people are like, how did we get here? The Stanford experiment is a perfect example of this. And you know why we have like certain models of research standards now, because that went out of control so quickly. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Benjamin. The Stanford. Yeah, the Stanford.
A researcher at Stanford the prison experiment. It went downhill real quick. Just basically, if they randomly assigned certain students to be the guards of a prison, and then certain students were the prisoners, they basically wanted to see how they would psychologically interact with each other, and it just went downhill so fast. Mm-hmm. And I guess even the students who were prisoners, their doors were open, they could have left, and for some reason they didn't. And it's been argued it's because they really wanted the money, but still, the amount of money they were getting paid even for those times was not worth the amount of torture that the other the guard students were putting them through. They were like making them clean toilets with toothbrushes and then having to use the toothbrushes, and like it just was it went dark really fast. And so it's human. Yeah, humans can be scary.
Human. There was a study that was done by the guy, I'm blanking on his name, but Malcolm Gladwell has a great podcast series on this called Revisionist History, and he was discussing some of these experiments. Amazing. So you know what I'm talking about. There was an experiment that was done on malnutrition just towards the end of the Second World War. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was a starvation experiment, and it was awful. They basically starved this group of people for I think close to a year, and the result, and this, voluntarily, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was interesting was, I mean, these were people who, like, you know, they hadn't served. I think a lot of them were conscientious objectors, and they hadn't served in military roles. And so they volunteered because they felt like they wanted to give something, because they were working with this guy who had, you know, developed field rations for World War II. And so they're like, okay, he's studying malnutrition and figuring out a way to help the troops. Let's, you know, work with him. And then basically it nearly killed them. And it was like, you know, horrific in terms of the psychological impact that it had on them as well. But what's wild is that this continues to be like one of the keystone studies on malnutrition until today. And it could never be repeated again because of, you know, things like ethics board approvals that are required for experiments.
Right. Yeah. It's, yeah. You had an example you said you wanted to bring up.
Yeah. Fritz Haber. Haber. Yeah. So Fritz Haber was a nice Bavarian boy, actually, from the Bavarian hills, and he was a chemist, yeah.
You're really good at that.
I can do the rest of the episode like that if you want.
Fritz Haber.
Yeah.
That's a Nobel Prize in chemistry.
Yeah, it was wild. So he won the Nobel. He won the Nobel Prize in chemistry in 1918, but a bunch of people like snuffed him and didn't want to actually show up because they're like, he's a warmonger and a war profiteer and he's evil, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Basically, Fritz Haber did two things that are kind of related, but the main... the main thing that he developed...
He did zwei things.
The main thing that he developed was the Haber-Bosch process, which is basically a way to fix nitrogen. So when you pull... nitrogen is important for fertilization. It's also important for explosives. And we'll get to that. But there's nitrogen all around us in our atmosphere. We've spoken previously about how air is made up of more than 70% nitrogen. But we can't just pull nitrogen out of the air. We couldn't, at least until this process. And so this process had this chemical way of doing that, basically converting air into ammonia, and you can use the nitrogen from the ammonia. But it was kind of crazy because it's like this guy was doing such incredible things for agriculture. If he hadn't invented this process, we basically would not have had the agricultural wherewithal to survive having, a population above 2 billion people, I think the estimates were, on Earth. And now we have nearly 8 billion.
We might have passed 8 billion. Billion.
We hit that. Okay.
We've hit 8
billion. I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, that was a couple of days ago I saw that.
Yeah, yes. I was... So it's like this guy literally saved billions of lives by creating this process that we all rely on. About 50% of the nitrogen in your blood comes from the Fritz Haber process. But, the Haber-Bosch process, I should say. But the guy also, was responsible for providing that same ammonia to produce dynamite and explosives. In World War One, he also created chlorine gas. He also created his institute created what became Zyklon B, which was the gas used in the gas chambers in World War Two. So it's like this one man was simultaneously both a savior and a devil, kind of
right? Yeah, I thought I was. The thought has escaped my brain now. I was thinking of something also along the same lines of space. Thinking about my brain is so shot. The guy that we stole from the Nazis to start our space program, essentially, right?
Braun.
Braun, thank you. Yeah.
Zibron.
Werner
von Braun.
He should have probably been a war criminal, but they were like, this guy's got some goods, and we could use that. You're right. This is getting really tied in with warfare, but I suppose that's kind of the ugliest part of humanity. Again, going back to philosophy, is our ability to go to war over... as Carl Sagan would say, a fraction of a speck of a dot. That's the odd, you could argue tribal evolutionary desirings of our past that still manifest in just more scientifically powerful and proficient ways, unfortunately.
But it's important to remember that any technology can be used for good or for bad.
For good or for evil.
Yeah.
My ultimate clincher philosophical thought process when I was thinking about this episode was in a way. The times that we live in right now, it's amazing, right? Because we have this technology. The fact that we're recording right now and we're all on respectively different corners of this globe. Amazing, right? But to get the batteries for these these machines, to get this technology, there's heavy prices that are paid to both our planet and to, labor of people and children to get the minerals for the batteries and we know this because we have this amazing technology that by the click of a button can tell us like, oh, by the way, did you know where your iPhone was made and how it was made? And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's this sort of inescapable web that we're all a part of, too, because it's also impossible to get away from it. You can't, I've looked it up. You can't find laptops, or they're very difficult to find, that would get out of that system of how these are built. But you can't not have a laptop. You know what I mean?
We're kind of trapped in a web, you're right. But also, I think being able to communicate as a global society gives us the ability to hold companies socially responsible. And it's something that I think that we're still learning how to do in a way that is effective, right? Because sometimes it's like, you know, keyboard warriors just going off on every little thing and not actually making a difference. But I think that once we level out and we find a way to say, okay, we all clearly want this product or some version of this product, let's support a company that produces this product in an ethical way. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, you know, the market will speak for itself. I think it's something, again, we're constantly playing catch up with the ethics that goes with our technology, right? Like, you know, we developed spears and weapons of war before we had the philosophical insights to say, maybe I shouldn't stab him. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we didn't think about the implications of setting off a bomb that would, you know, kill that many people that quickly, you know, because the idea of traditional soldiers killing a human being, it's like, that's a horrible thing, but, you know, I have to live with that. But, you know, the pilots who dropped bombs over Hiroshima, like, that's something that nobody could understand the true impact of that until years later. So,
right.
Hopefully we're learning to be better, but it's kind of like two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you driven on a major busy interstate? Because, I don't know. I'm just joking. Like, road rage. Terrible driver. Like, I don't know. That seems a little optimistic. Benjamin, do you have any topics in particular that you wanted to touch base on about science?
Science that's inadvertently evil. Kavi mentioned the leaded gasoline earlier. The guy who invented leaded gasoline, he was just trying to solve a problem of making our car engines quieter and run a little bit smoother. And he cooked up this compound that had lead in it, and hey, it worked. Let's sell it. And they did, and it worked great. But then everyone realized, we're just pumping lead into the air and we're making everybody stupid and we're causing damage to people, and it was horrible. He also invented Freon, trying to solve the problem of refrigeration, keeping things cool at home, working on air conditioners, and that was fantastic. It was fantastic. And he breathed the substance in, and he exhaled it out safely. And he was great. And it was safe for humans to breathe in. But it created, chlorofluorocarbons, which ascended up into our atmosphere and started destroying our ozone. And when people started to realize it was a problem, they quickly got rid of Freon and almost all of our chlorofluorocarbon-producing chemicals. But still, what he made was something made our lives a little bit easier, but could have, left unchecked, made our lives easier right up into our doom.
Doom, doom, doom.
Nice and cool here. I'm getting radiated by the sun instantly. But, man, I can have ice cream whenever.
I was going to also say, you know, in terms of the ozone layer, who are the real criminals here? I think the women of the 80s who needed to, men and women of the 80s who needed to hairspray their hair in such an audacious manner. If there's a true crime being committed here, it was that. I'm looking at you people who lived in the 80s. There are so many examples of, well, and I think, you know, Ben or Kavi was making some faces. I think what Benjamin's point to that was, is that like the intention originally was to make engines quieter. Then what can happen is, say it's really profitable and they're like, oh no, now it's bad. How do we undo this? You know, how do you undo this? And that's, you know, like a very layered domino sort of thing as well. Like how, you know, how do we undo this? And we went back to energy, didn't we? Because solar energy has been around for so long, but we started going down a different track and it was really hard to undo the path that we started forging down. And it just, you know, it's really funny to me too, that when you think about like the world's fairs and how many like amazing technological things were there so ahead of their time, and we say ahead of their time, but it was just, it wasn't there yet for mass consumption. And I think you made a really great point in pointing out 8 billion people. Whoo, that's a lot. That's a lot of people to feed, a lot of people to provide energy for, and something to take into consideration.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Und on that positive note.
Oh, see ya.
On that positive note.
I love these philosophical discussions. They're such, you know.
I do too.
They just pop.
I do too. Well, I think that the philosophical discussions, though, are what made like someone like Carl so significant in science communication, because he took so many aspects of humanity when he looked at space exploration. Because if you look at space exploration with this cold, sterile, don't take the human element aspect into it, sure, yeah, absolutely. I could 100% see why people would be like, why are we wasting all that money on space?
Right.
So when you take that the human emotion, I gave it a lot of bad rap earlier, but when you give human emotion into things, have you guys seen the trailer for Good Night Oppie? It's coming out on Thanksgiving. I've seen it.
Can't wait.
I cried both times I've watched it now, right? Because it's a machine, but it's so much more than a machine because of what we put into that. And I think Carl was a really good communicator in that regard, that, you know, the philosophy behind all of this is what makes it worth talking about. So that's my spiel. Again, you are more than welcome to follow us on social media. I post just a lot of random nonsense. And right now you see a lot about a boat. It's kind of my life right now, is about this boat that I'm sailing on an expedition on, and I'm managing a museum exhibit. So that is sort of like all consuming. But we're core drilling in the Lost City hydrothermal field, which is so cool. It's so important for astrobiology research. Science, actually science. Ben is just, you know, making waves on his channel every day. Just getting the haters. And then we're still kind of a little bit baffled by this. And then Kavi, he's on all the time, wasters. He's been not wasting his time, but now I think he has more time to waste. So you might see more posts from him.
And we're going to waste it for you, buddy.
And as always, you can also find, you know, iRock Space Radio on all the platforms. And I promised in our last episode that we were going to be getting recordings up on the website. I have been assured that it is in the process. Sometimes things just take a little while to get moving. And so we are going to try to get at least episodes up soon that had guests on it. That's definitely something I would like to do. And we are looking ahead at bringing some other guests on. So, lots to look forward to. We got, you know, a whole big Christmas break to do a lot of recording with. So,
oh boy.
Oh yeah. Get excited.
Let's record some
Some less heavy non-philosophical ones, of course, too. We balance it out. We're a nice palette of many things here. So you are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.